We're in the middle of Seif Aleph. Wait, we had just finished learning the inyan of Mechitza HaMateras. Right? Yeah. Okay. So, just one last ta'ara about Mechitza HaMateras before we go to the middle of the Ramah. That last line of the Ramah says, that there's one heter from Mechitza Materes, which makes a lot of sense. We'll have to see in general if there's ever any differences. See a little much later in the halfway through the simon. But there are differences in Gag and Mechitza Materes. But the Ramah says, just like by Gag, we're about to learn Sif Beis, there's a heter of Hosafa, that you're like Mosef al Olam, right? So to my Mechitza Materes, even though it's also to make it, you're allowed to be Mosef on it. That's actually what the Maharam did, if you noticed in Beis Yosef later, that what he did for Sfarim, when he wanted to go to the bathroom, on Friday night, he would make the Mechitza partially, and then just add to it and complete the Mechitza before he went to sleep Friday night, and that would be a much way to make a Mechitza Materes. Okay, we'll come back to that. In the middle here, the Ramah then discusses some other funny cases of Mechitza. So if you look, the eighth word or something of the Ramah, V'lachein mutter litlos vilo lefnei Pesach af al pi shekavua sham v'chein paroches lefnei Aron Kodesh uvach liyasa ohel begag tefach. That some of the examples of mechitzas that are mutter to make is a vilo lefnei Pesach and a paroches, a curtain in the doorway, for privacy, and a paroches on the Aron Kodesh. Neither of those are mechitza materes. So therefore, it's mutter to make them, as long as you don't make a roof. Apparently, the way they would make their paroches is in those days, was sometimes there would be a roof part, and like it would be an upside-down L. So you can't make an upside-down L paroches. It can't have any roof on it. But if it's just straight up and down, you can make a curtain, or you can make a paroches. So that might seem to have not much of a chiddush, because we already know a mechitza that's not materes is mutter to make arai. What's the only chiddush here? In this line, what makes this line a little more controversial? Because the Ramah says, Avamisha Kavua Sham. Now hold on a second. You're not allowed to make anything Kavua. What's he talking about here? I thought this whole, all the heterim here we're talking about are right. Since when do we have a heter of Kavua? So, this is the discussion that Beis Yosef is leaving in the Simen. It's a Mefurish Gemara and Daf Kuf Lamed Ches that a Vilon is Mutter. You're allowed to put up the curtain. And the Trumas Hadeshen already dealt with, you know, does that mean you're allowed to put it up permanently or put it up b'derech harai? And the Trumas Hadeshen says you're only allowed to put it up derech harai. Because, of course, permanent is always usher. So what's the Ramah saying here when he says it's mutter to do it kavua? So he really means what Beis Yosef said a little later. Beis Yosef's maskana was that a vilon, really, they're both right. It's mutter to put up a vilon kavua, but it's also to put up a vilon kavua, because the way you put up a vilon, even if you attach it permanently, is not considered kavua. That's the Beis Yosef's chiddush. That there is a special heter of vilon, it's not just a normal heter of mechitza she'ena materes arai, there's a special heter of vilon, because even if you tack it up permanently, it's not considered kavua. Why is it not considered kavua? Because totally unlike the normal way to make a real, real ohel, it has two factors, which are really the same thing, they make it not kavua. Number one, and the Magen Avraham right here in the Mishnah Berurah will explain this. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Sukkam Aleph and the Shavu Sukkam Vav explain that it blows in the wind. You can't really consider this kavua, even if you tack on the mechitza for a long time, right? I attach it to the top of the doorway for a long time. It's hard to call that kavua, because it blows in the wind. It's not really an effective partition. And, for the same reason it blows in the wind, people can walk in and out. It doesn't stop traffic, right? If I want to walk in the curtain, I can walk right in. I just push the curtain aside a little and walk in. It doesn't actually stop anyone. So therefore, the Ramah here is giving a unique heter. There's a special heter for curtains that are only attached on top, right? There'd be no heter if you took the curtain and you attach it on the four corners, then that would be mamash and ol kavua, a mechitza kavua. Of course there's no heter. But there's a special heter for mechitza that's only attached, for a curtain that's only attached on top. Because since it's not really an effective wall, because it blows in the wind, because people walk in and out, all it does is keep people from looking at you. But it, the wind blows it, and people come in and out, and animals, anyone, doesn't really block anything. So therefore, there's a special heter that it's always considered all right. That's the shita of... that's the shita of the Ramah. And the Mishnah says the same would apply, let's say, a parochas on the Aron Kodesh without a door. We'll have to see. With a door, it might be a different story. But let's say there was no door on your Aron Kodesh, only a parochas, and it was only hanging straight down, and it was only attached on top, like all of our parochas. So he says, even if you're attaching the parochas on forever, it's still considered a rai, because it's not derech kvias, because it's not an effective partition. And therefore, that's the heter of the Ramah. Not that he can actually mean kavua, but he just means to quote the Beis Yosef, as they're going to explain, that a vilon that's attached on top and sways on the bottom is always considered kavua. But of course, there'd be no heter for a vilon kavua if it was attached on all sides. If you were attaching it on top and bottom, that would only be mutter if you were doing it mamish temporarily, like just for a day. There'd be no heter to attach a vilon on all sides, but there are kvias. Okay, now, not everyone agrees. So everyone seems to agree with it so far, right? The Ramah says it, the Beis Yosef says it, the Magen Avraham says it, the Mishnah Berurah says it, the Chazon Ish happens to disagree. It's in Siman Nun Beis Os Yud Gimel. He says he denies this whole Chiddush to Beis Yosef. He says a V-loan is no different than anything else. If you attach it permanently, that's bona. The Chazon Ish is the Chazon Ish. Many people follow the Chazon Ish all the time. But I think the more mainstream halacha follows the Ramah, because all the Achronim on the Daf seem to accept the Ramah. And the Beis Yosef is the source of the Ramah. So even though the Chazon Ish, didn't bother him if there's a Ramah. That never stopped him before. But the mainstream halacha seems to be, if there's a special heter of Vilon, it's always considered Chalosh Shem Arai, even if you're Koveya it. And once a Chalosh Shem Arai, then a mechitza arai that's not materis is mutter.
This vilon is being attached to a house. It's being attached
to a house. Yeah, even to a house.
Kavua
means you're attaching it for a long time. Arai means you're attaching it for a short time. So, everyone would admit that if you just make this 1,000,000% clear. If here we're dealing with a vilon attached on top versus top and bottom for a short time or for a long time, then if you're only attaching it for a short time, then everyone admits this is mutter. This is the regular din of mechitza sarai. Right, a mechitza sarai is mutter because it's not materis, and we know arai they're only answered a gag or a mechitza materis, a regular mechitza sarai. You can do as much as you want. If you attach it on the top and bottom all over for a long time, that's for sure also that's mamish. That's mamish a mechitzas keva. That's for sure also. What if you attach it for a long time, so it seems to be kvias, but only on top? So that's where the Ramah and the Poskim say mutter, because it's considered arai. Even though you're attaching it for a long time, it's arai anyway, because if it doesn't stop anything and the wind blows and the people come through, it's automatically arai, regardless of your intention. Well, the Chazon Ish would say it's usher and it's considered keva. He would say, no, if you intend to leave it there for a long time, that's keva.
Is that like what the Gro is saying? That the whole reason... No, I just didn't understand what he shared to him. So he said that the Gro is mefar Shulchan Aruch, that he's poskening like Rashi in Shabbos, that all Rashi says that it's mechitza sarai, therefore it's not a shame oel. Therefore, if it would be for a long time, it would be a problem.
Divra Gramashma, that he says that it's because Mechitza Rai is not called an Ohel. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what he... Yeah, it sounds like that might be how he's reading the Gra, but it's very unclear. And the Gra here says... is not too explicit about it.
This is not like the parish in Erevin. He says, rather, he thinks it's like the parish Rashi says in Shabbos.
Right, but Rashi, even in Shabbos, could mean... I mean, yeah. Could, it's Efsha that that could be the marker of the Chazanish. I have to look at
it. Of these two kulas that the Ramban Bosch can point out, let's say you have something that's one of the kulas, but not the other. So let's say it doesn't crack the wind, but it does black powder.
I know, I'd be nervous relying on this if it didn't have both kulas. But it seems to me they should go together, because by definition they should be the same property. I mean, either it's attached on top or bottom, or it's only attached on top. But Louis, you come with a new case, I'd be misopic about it. No, I'd be a little misopic about it. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know, maybe those things on the way to the grocery store, which are too heavy to flap in the wind, but nonetheless people could walk through, but with difficulty. So I'd be a little misopic about it, especially since the Chazon Ish doesn't even agree with this Chiddush, so I'd be misopic there. I'd be careful. Okay, then there might or might not be a second kula as well. V'chein paroches l'fnei aron kodesh. Then there's this kula of paroches. What does the kula of paroches mean? So it could just be that it's talking about, you know, a paroches that you put up temporarily. Well, that's easy. It's all right. Or a paroches that's only attached on top. That's also easy. You know, if it's only attached on top, then that's the kula of the velo. But the Magen Avraham quotes in the Beis Yosef that by paroches there's an additional hefter. What's the additional hefter? Which is that we need like a third dimension here. Well, I can't put a third dimension. Which is there might be another factor on opening. But if we have a different factor, if we have a velon on the wall, then it would be automatically mutter. What does he mean by that? If the velon is not, if the velon is not covering an opening, but it's on a wall, like for example, your Aron Kodesh has a door, and you put a paroches on the door just for decoration. Right? There's a door, and it swings open to the Aron Kodesh, but you put a paroches there anyway, attached to the door, just to make it look pretty. Or you have a wall, and you put, right? Don't we put tapestries on the wall? You put a tapestry on the wall just to make it look pretty. So then, what does the Magen Avraham say? By paroches, the special hetzer, v'chein paroches, l'fnei aron kodesh, that even if you attach it on the top and the bottom, and even if you attach it for a long time, right? Even the top and the bottom, even for a long time, it's still mutter, because it's not even a chaloshem mechitza. Because something can't be a chaloshem mechitza if there's already a wall there. So since it's not even a chaloshem mechitza, it's automatically mutter. That's the kula, which the Magen Avraham seems to be saying. Now, it's not 100% clear, but that's what he seems to be saying. And that's what the, that's at least how the, all the achronim on the daf, you look in the Vilshei Yisrael, you look at anyone on the daf, even the Rishon Brura seems to understand that way he says, came into Balav, Yishtel, Zoron, and Kodesh, and Peroch, and Tol, and Stias, and Yalma, the Kam, Achronim, Mekilim, okay, that's a different one, but, and much less of Shabbos, Dinam, Tzion, Al-Kol, Tel, and Noiv, Afil, Lokabish, Lekim, Zol, Zim, Kom, Gam, Kin, Shari, says, that the heter of is an automatic heter because there's already a door there. And that's why you're allowed to put tapestries on your wall to look pretty. Even though there are curtains, which are normally mechitza material, even if you affix them on the top and the bottom, because it seems to be that's just mufka from being a mechitza. And, the, however, this is, this is a little tricky. The Chazon Ish disagrees with this. The Chazon Ish is in the same place. Chazon Ish says he doesn't think that's what the Magen Avraham meant, even though it seems to be in the first place. Also, the Chazon Ish says he doesn't think it's what the Magen Avraham meant. He doesn't think that's what the Achronim meant. He's not so convinced. He thinks the heter of the tapestries is only if you're not planning to leave them there for a long time. He thinks the heter here is only if you're not planning to leave them there for a long time. If you're not planning to leave them there for a long time, then it's mutter to put them on. But if you're planning to leave them for a long time, he says that's mosif ala binyan. Even if it's not a mechitza, it's a separate yisur. of Mosif ala Binyan, that you're not allowed to add to a you're not allowed to add to a structure. So I think that I'm not sure how everyone paskins nowadays, but I think since the Magen Avraham is not clear exactly what he means here. What? The Chiddush of Paroches. He reads the Chiddush of Paroches. What's the Chiddush of Paroches? I think he might say, I think I have the Lashon here. He might say that there's no Chiddush of Paroches. Who says the Chiddush of Paroches? Didn't say V'chein, and likewise. So maybe the yeah, the Chiddush of Paroches is no different than the Vilon. There's no Chiddush at all in Paroches. The same rule as the Vilon. That's what he says here. He says that that if it's mamish kavua, then even though it's not a mechitza, it's still a problem because it's mosif ala binyan. Whenever you add something, I know we haven't seen this sugya on this yet. Whenever you add something to a building, then it's usher. So the Magen Avraham does say, the Chazanish says, it could be that no one meant to allow you to add it permanently, because when you add it permanently, that's considered adding to a building, and that's also if it's a mosif ala binyan. Even if it wouldn't be a mechitza, it would be also a mosif ala binyan. So the even though it seems from simple pshat in the Mishnah Berurah, and the Achronim here interpret the Machzor Shekel and Levush Esrad and the Magen Avraham, it seems the simple pshat is there's a special heter when you're putting it on a wall and it's not a chalusha mechitza at all, that it's mutter in all circumstances. Chazanish says it can't be mutter in all circumstances. If you add it permanently, that's called adding to a building, and adding to a building is always usher. Then you didn't have to agree with him. You could have said not if it's just decorative. But if the Chazanish thinks adding to a building is always usher, even if it's merely decorative and doesn't add a functionality to the building, and that's a that's machlokas. I'm not sure how all the posts can paskin nowadays, but I think that it's here the Chazanish has a little more going for him. The same would apply to window shades. Let's say you would, well, window shades. If one of these things fell down and you wanted to put the window shade back, so you'd be putting it up permanently.
Right against the window.
You'd be putting it up permanently right against the window. So, now window shades. What? No, that's talking about when you're not attaching it to a building. So, but if you put up your window shade permanently, then the Chazanish would say that's most of all a binyan. That's a chashav nishud oraisa. But the Magen Avraham might say, now you could be mechalik because window shades are to protect you from the sun, so they could be a little different.
It doesn't have a shem mechitza at all. There's already mechitza there, so you shouldn't care about the motivation for putting up.
Right, I hear. Right, you're saying it's not a chal Hashem, it's not a chal Hashem. Does he? I hear that. Does he talk about this here? Vilon, okay. So he says. How does he paskin? So he brings down a machlok because he's not machriya. The Shmir Shabbos Gulchasin, Perikov Dalit, Halachav Tes, is not machriya. This is about tapestries and about a window shades. He's not machriya. The window shades, he paskins for sure usher. Why does he paskins for sure usher? I think probably because you can open a window, right? So then it really is machitza. Don't windows open? Isn't that the chaf?
The door's open.
So you can also open the door of the Aron Kodesh.
Yeah.
No. When I say you can open the door of the Aron Kodesh, I think what it means is you put the parochas on the door. So when you open the door, you're opening the parochas with it. That's the way I understood this case.
Meaning not like Aron Kodesh.
Not like, right, I thought it meant not like ours. I could be wrong. What does it say here? The Dipshid, you know, it's a little hard to tell. What? It's a little hard to tell exactly how he's Enotoli El Tznios, and early. But since Taka, maybe. I still see the difference. I can still see the difference that when you're hanging, the vilon on the window shade is really there to be a wall of the house. It's not just there for its nearest and whatever, because sometimes you want the window open and you need to protect yourself from the sun and from the wind and v'chule v'chule. So I still see the difference there.
But when I'm putting it up, it's on the window's closed. It's on the vineyard. It's not on it.
But I need the mechitza there. I still see it as different. In the window, I'm putting it up so I can open the window and still have a mechitza. In the Aron Kodesh, I'm not putting it up because sometimes I'll need the door open and still need a wall for the Aron Kodesh. I'm putting it there just to look pretty.
Fine, so there are plenty of windows that don't open. They're like in the living room.
Still, you want the sun out. You want the sun out.
Okay, Tzarech a little Ion. I mean, he takes it as the Pashat, that by a window shade, we consider that more of a serious mechitza, and therefore, by a window shade, according to the, if you put it up, well, let's see, if you just put it up very temporarily, which we usually don't do with the window shade, but let's say, for example, the window sheet fell down, and it's, you're going to fix it after Shabbos, whatever. But meanwhile, you just put a little, you know, curtain, take a little sheet out of the closet, and you put it on there, you know, very temporarily, you know, just until you get your tools out after Avdolan fixed the window shade, and that's for sure mutter. That's a mechitza sarai, and it's not materis. That's mechitza sarai, not materis, or most of arai. Actually, most of all arai, we'll see. If you're putting it up there permanently, like you're putting the real window shade that's going to stay, then, if you're attaching it on top and bottom, which I guess you don't really do, but if you are putting up the real window shade, and it's only attached on top, and it's not attached on bottom at all, then that would go down to Machloksi, Mechazanish, and the Ramah. That would be Machloksi, the Ramah, and the Chazanish. He's actually not Machriya. So again, a window shade, I think, you have to admit is a serious Mechitza. You have to admit it's a serious Mechitza. It's really there for the sake of being a Mechitza. It's not just like decorative. And the Aron Kodesh, no matter how it works, it's just decorative. You don't actually need that to be a mechitza on the Aron Kodesh at all. But it's just to look pretty.
I think the Sora was that since it's so close to the actual wall, it's just butt up to the wall.
No, it's that it's not serving as a mechitza. But this window shade is serving as a mechitza because you want a mechitza there with the window open. The paroches, you don't need the paroches to block off the Aron Kodesh. Even if theoretically maybe it could, but you don't need, it's not a function of the Paroches to block the Aron Kodesh. The function of the Paroches is just for to look pretty.
You don't have the vilon that's covering the doorway? Why is that so arai?
So that's machlokes between the Chazanish and the Ramah. A vilon, basically what the Shmir Shabbos assumes, which I think makes a lot of sense, is that the window shade is like the vilon covering the doorway. It's a more serious part of the structure. And therefore, if it's there temporarily, you're okay. If it's there for a long time, then if you would attach it on all four sides, it would for sure be yasser. But if you would attach it just on top and let it swing on the bottom, that's the machlokas. The Rambam would say it's automatically called arai, because it's not attached well.
Isn't that the window shade? Same. Shouldn't that be?
Yeah, so window shade should be mutter according to the Rambam, and only and also according to the Chazanish in the Chanami. Because I think no, that's what he says. Asur l'tlot vilon alachalon mechaber kitzel yematachton. But if you only hang it from the top, if you only hang your curtain from the top and not from the bottom, then it's a machlokas between the. It's the same machlokas as the vilon in the in the delet. It's the same machlokas between the Rambam and the Chazanish. So if you would put a window curtain up. Now, I don't know, I wonder about these window shades, whether they're the same as curtains or not. Do these window shades actually swing? Can you walk through them? They're a little more serious than...
You wanted to walk out the window.
They're a little more serious than just stom drapes. Yeah. Right? Because on the bottom, I don't know, are they hard on the bottom?
Yeah, like a little piece of wood.
I mean, the whole thing's pretty...
Yeah,
it's the same thing in the middle, these little pieces.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just all material.
Yeah. with little pieces of metal, plastic,
right? Yeah, pretty
much. Make it a little heavier, but it's not.
Lemaisa, it's. So I think that that would be a machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Rama. So he, the Shmuel Shabbos is not machriya this machlokas in the Chazon Ish and the Rama. He just said it's a machlokas in the Chazon Ish and the Rama. This is in Chaf Dalid, Chaf Ches. Not machriya. He's not machriya this machlokas. The
Chazon
Ish says
it's called
Kavua. The Chazon Ish says Kavua the old-fashioned way. The Chazon Ish is actually straight here. It says Kavua means you're leaving it there. It's not temporary. Yeah, I think the Chazon Ish admitted that if, let's say, your window shade fell down or the drapes fell down or whatever, and you couldn't actually put it up back the permanent long-term way. Right, because for that you need to fix it with tools, whatever. So you were just like, you sort of can stuff it in so that if you don't knock against it, it won't fall, and hopefully it'll last the rest of Shabbos. But, you know, that's not the way which is really the normal permanent way. That's not going to last that way. Then everyone would agree that's mutter. That's arai. Everyone agrees arai is mutter. The only time the machlokas comes up is if you're putting it there for the long term. You're putting it there for a long time. That's where the Chazon Ish says that's aser. And the Rama says, no, that's automatically called arai, because it's automatically defined as arai if it's not attached well. Okay, and that's, it's just, you know, different intuitions. There's no way to prove who's right and who's wrong. Okay, but the Chazon Ish versus pretty much everyone else. The Sefer Shabbos class is not machri, even though the Chazon Ish, you know, is certainly somewhat of a das yachin in this case. Now, how about the other case, which is what if you're just putting it there for decorative purposes? What if it's not necessary to be a mechitza at all, like the parochas on the Aron Kodesh, which has a door, or like the tapestries on the wall, right? Those are not necessary for any purpose other than just, you know, they don't add any protection, they don't add any division, they're not really serving as a mechitza at all. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Achronim sound like that's mutter across the board, because it's automatically mufka from achaloshem mechitza. And the Chazon Ish takes sort of the same hard line. The Chazon Ish says no, anything which is attached is always usser. So the Chazon Ish would still say that if you're attaching it permanently, then it's still usser, because you're never allowed to attach anything permanently. So the Chazon Ish just has a straight svara. You're never allowed to put anything up permanently. He thinks it might be Nesher D'oraisa. You can't build something permanently. What?
What makes it a mechitza once it's just on the wall?
It's not midin mechitza. If we didn't build it.
It's not an oel arai, it's not an oel.
It's not an oel. Not because of oel or mechitza. Because of bone and mamish. I am constructing a building, right? There's a building and I'm adding things to the building. Now again, you might have said, no, decorations are not tapestries, and decorations are not considered adding things to the building. These are just decorative items. But the Chazon Ish says that's called adding things to a building, and he is choshulis. And he would say that even the Magen Avraham meant like him. Because the Magen Avraham was not 100% clear. So these are both machlokas, the Shmir Shabbos. It's not much free of this one. It's not much free of this machlokas either.
Because they should even hang a picture on the wall?
No, a picture on the wall is different, because a picture on the wall is not really attached at all. That's just that. A picture on the wall is just like hanging there by itself. He would admit that a picture on the wall is not considered integrated into the building, even if you leave it there for a long time. Because it's just like hanging by a thread. But a curtain of some sort, you know, that's really attached to the wall. If it's really attached to the wall, then even if you don't, I'm not saying you take a hammer and nails and a screwdriver and chops. Saying it's really attached well to the wall, it's not like a picture, right? Pictures aren't really attached, right? Yeah. They're just hanging from one little nail. So that the Chazon Ish admits, that's not building anything. But if, so if your tapestry is just hanging from one little nail and is as weak as a picture, that's one thing. But if it's attached more seriously, then he would say that's still an equal problem. Okay, so in these, both these cases, the Chazon Ish would be Machmir. And in this case, the Ramban will oppose the Ramekel. In this case, the Achronim, who interpret the Magen Avraham, say it's Mutter. But the Chazon Ish would say he's not sure the Magen Avraham meant that. The Magen Avraham, all he says is that Paroch is obviously Mutter because it's regardless. And therefore, you can put tapestries even though they're Kavua. So most of them understand, even though they're Kavua. Chazon Ish says, no. He just means even if they're attached well, but they're only temporary. And he means the paroches, he says, this is like the broyers. They make a new paroches every week, right? That's the only heter of paroches. And the tapestries are for very rich people of a whole tapestry collection and put them up, take them down, put them up, take them down. But if you're actually putting them up seriously, they didn't mean to be matter. In both these cases, the Chazon Ish is definitely das yochid among the achronim, but the Shmir Shabbos Gelchos is nervous passing against him. In this case, I'm not sure if he's nervous just because the Chazon Ish is very influential in Eretz Yisrael, or because he doesn't possibly like him, he's nervous possibly against him, or because he thinks he has a decent svara that, you know, you shouldn't be adding things to buildings. So that's pretty much it for Sif Aleph. Okay, Sif Beis. This is the one of the most important rules we have here. This machlok is about, what about, let's remember, making an ohel, right? So, here we have, you can make an ohel keva, or arai, and you can make an ohel, or add to an ohel. Right, so how about to make an ohel keva? That's for sure, usher. Not only usher, but you can be chayv katas. How about to make an ohel arai? What? To make an ohel arai is usher. Right, what's usher? Gag and mechitza materes. But would be much if you made a chitza she'en materes. That wouldn't have a chaloshim ohel. What about to add to an ohel keva? Let's say there was already an ohel, which was kavua. I'm just adding on a new wing. Yeah, so that's also usher. But what's the machlokas for Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? This is the machlokas Tanoim. Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. The most famous example is the pekak hachalon. Right, in those days, windows didn't—they don't mean what we're familiar with. Right, in the good old days, a window meant a hole in the wall. They didn't have glass panes. They clearly had glass, right? We saw in Tosfos. But it's easy to make glass dishes because you blow them. They didn't have the technology to make flat panes of glass because you can't blow those and they're very hard to make. So what was a window? It was a hole in your wall. How did you close the window? What if it rained or snowed or it was a lot very windy? You would take a board or, you know, a board or something and just stick it in the hole in the wall really tight and that would close up your window. So so that is called Mosif al Ohel Arai. Because you already have your house. You're just adding a little. And you're only adding it temporarily, right? It's not like you're shutting up this room forever. Like, I have an abandoned house, I want to shutter the windows, whatever. Okay, so that's keva, right? I mean, even if it's not for 50 years, it's still keva. I'm going to leave it there for a long time. But it's just until the sun comes out, and it's a nice day tomorrow, and I take it out. Until I want some fresh air, or I want some light. So that is most well all right. But the other says it's still usher. It's only what they're to do. If the pekak is like hanging there and it's hanging in the air attached to your wall already, so it was already part of your wall. But we follow the Chacham, and the Chacham and say it's mutter to take a board off the floor and stick it into your window and close up your window, even though you're clearly adding something to the house that was not yet part of the house, because it's only Mosif Arai. So we paskin, it is mutter. One very important thing to notice from this example, that it's mutter, not only is it mutter, right? Why would I be wrong if I said it was mutter to add to a temporary structure? Why am I saying that wrong?
Yeah,
what?
Because
you can even add to a permanent structure as long as you add temporarily. Not only is it mutter to add to a temporary structure, it's mutter to add temporarily to a structure. Whether you're adding temporarily to a temporary structure or adding temporarily to a permanent structure. Whether, let's say... you know, my kids make some sort of, you know, I don't know, there's some sort of tent with blankets on the chairs and on the couch, whatever, in the living room. And I want to then, on Shabbos, add to that, I'll put more blankets and more chairs and make it a tremendous tent for more kids to come play in. So that would be more certain. Or whether I had mamish a house, and I was just temporarily adding to that structure. Like, for example, if I put up the window shade in a temporary fashion, right? Somehow a temporary fashion of putting up a window shade. Or if, let's say, a car, right? A car window broke, so what do? I like stick some piece of plastic in there. I don't like tape it or glue it or anything. No, I just stick it in, and it's obviously temporarily. So even if it's a permanent structure, as long as my addition is only temporary, that's mutter, which is exactly the case of kaka halon. That's sort of the basic example of this. The Shulchanos doesn't bring these examples. He brings some more mechudish examples of adding temporarily to a structure. That's why, for example, just to give some other examples, before we get to Shulchanos examples, you know, some people have, like, a roof that goes over their sukkah when it rains. So if all I had was four walls, then a vada would be also to put that roof on when it rains. That's called building an OLRI. But if I have schach on my sukkah already, which I certainly hope I would, and then I want to put plastic or I want to, you know, crank down the walls, which might have an additional heter, I want to put plastic on top of my sukkah. I have some plastic that covers my sukkah when it rains. There's already schach there. I'm just putting plastic also. That's called mosif al OLRI. The OL is already there. I'm just adding to it temporarily. That's fine. Or a stroller. The stroller has a little hood, but I want to put that plastic thing for the rain. And that plastic thing is going to make a gog and whatever, let's say it's a real gog ohel arai. So I couldn't just take a stroller, like take an umbrella stroller, and put this plastic thing over to cover for the rain. No, that's called building an ohel arai for my kid. That's, of course, usser. But if it's a fancier stroller with a hood, just the hood is partial. And what I do is I put this plastic on top of the hood and extend it even more. And that's fine. That's called mosif al olarai.
Are you saying that when the foot of the stroller is completely folded position, that's already considered to be paros?
Aha, that's the, I think that's the machlokes of your emotion. The chalanish we'll get to. Okay. One thing for sure, let me just go back to Joe. Let's say the hood is partially unfolded. Then you can definitely unfold it all the way, because that's mosif al olarai. That's pashut mutter. If it's not unfolded at all, then that's actually building an olarai, so that's trickier. Although I think most people say it's mutter. What? It depends on your stroller. Well, we'll have to get to that. It's tricky.
Mechitza
materis.
So couldn't you put the
schach
on it?
What do you mean? Mechitza materis? I mean, since the walls are mechitza materis, is that already considered oval to put the schach on it? Yeah. So, I think... So, pashtus, first of all...
Ram make the mechitza ready and add it?
You know, that just means I'm not sure if a mechitza materis you're then allowed to add a gag. I mean, you're going the other direction. He just added to make a mechitza materis. You're saying once you have a mechitza materis, can you add a gag? I'm not convinced of that. I think a gag might be a higher madriga of ohel. Not to mention the fact that it's not a mechitza materis, that's ra. but even so, like, let's say I'm Amish, I built myself four walls so I could go to the bathroom in the middle of a big base medrash. Then I still... I'm not convinced that that would, or not a build outdoor space vendors. I'm not convinced that I could then put a gag on it, because still, out's gag, which is the ikar ohel, there's nothing here yet. Although, it would be interesting to think about. I haven't seen anyone discuss it. Anyway, let's go. Let's see the case in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch just has some cases that illustrate this principle. Eitzim shetoken roshan echa bedovan asfina v'kofan roshan sheni bedovan asheni shal sfina. And the boats in the old days, what they would do is, they would sort of have the boat... this is not going to work at all. Here's the boat. And then there'd be like sticks going over here. And what they would do when they wanted some protection from the sun, they would just put some sort of cloth on top of those sticks, and it would rest on them. And then you could protect yourself from the sun. So it's like what they call nowadays like a pergola or something, right? That there's all these sticks in your backyard, and then if you wanted to, I don't think people do, you could put a... stretch a curtain out, a cloth out over them, and protect yourself from the sun. What?
They have one on the bench outside.
By the bench, outside by the swings.
Okay, and do they have a cloth stretch over it?
No, they just have the sticks.
Ah, but you could.
Could.
Okay, anyway, l'maisa. So, u'porsim achtzel z'leim l'tzel, they would put actually some sort of mats on them for shade. Im yesh baruch mentefach. Or if you l'im baruch mentefach, Vishari. So he says, if, now, what do you mean Tosefis? If there was obviously, let's say half of it was covered by these mats, then you could certainly finish covering it. Both Narai. But what if nothing was covered at all, there were no cloth or mats or whatever they were at all, then there's still two cases we consider muster. If this stick itself was a tefach thick, then the stick itself is a roof. It's a tefach thick roof. And you can add onto the stick by putting on the cloth or the mats. Or, if the sticks were very small, but they were within three tefachim of each other, Pashas, the way we, Mishabur, etc., says, even if, let's say you had two sticks within three tefachim of each other, then through lavud, that's considered to be a gag tefach. Right? If you have two sticks, two tefachim apart, then use lavud, it's as if it's all filled in, and now you have a two tefach high wall. So, theoretically, you know, if I wanted to be able to put out an awning on Shabbos and take it off whenever I want, but Ofen Arai, all I have to do is put like two little sticks, you know, a tefach or two tefachim or three tefachim apart from each other, and that's considered as if there was a gag one or two or three tefachim wide, and then I can put things on it, because that's just mosif al ohel arai. So that's a two case, it would be mutter to put this awning on your yacht. And therefore, if you would actually have the mat and there would be a tefach already covered, then you could certainly add to it. There's a few haros like about this. So before we get to the last line, I know we haven't read the last five words yet. Again, one thing let's remember from the last Ramah, that just like this heter applies to roofs, you can add to a gag ohel, you can also add temporarily to a mechitza. What kind of mechitza? If it's a regular mechitza, you can even build it in the first place. No. A mechitza materis, you can also add temporarily, either to a gag or a mechitza materis, you're allowed to be mosif on. There's a bit of a discussion in the Be'er Halacha says, in a gag, I understand a tefach is called a gag. In mechitza, how tall does something have to be called a mechitza? So you might think, only if the mechitza materis is 10 tefachim you can add to it. In which case, it would be a little silly, because you would need to add to it. But the Be'er Halacha concludes, no. Even though for some purposes it's only called a mechitza if it's 10 tefachim, for other purposes we can call it a mechitza if it's 1 tefach. And just like a gag 1 tefach you can add on to, a mechitza materis 1 tefach you could also add on to. So if I want to be able to build a mechitza materis on Shabbos, all I have to do is put a 1 tefach high mechitza, and then I can feel free to add on to it and build it up to the requisite shear of 10 tefachim. Now the Mishnah Brewer here, the Mishnah Brewer here says, what about has machlokas with another machlokas with the Chazon Ish? Right, there's one, two, okay, about loved. One second, okay. There's a few haros here about lavud. Number one, there's this famous rule. Lavud's a very strange rule. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings it in here, I think. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes from Tosfos. Says, anyone know a strange rule about lavud? Lavud only works lakula, not lachomer. So I'm not sure exactly why that is. We have a rule that lavud is only lakula. There's no lavud lachomer. What does that mean? What that means, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes, is that if I have, let's say, my two strings that are near each other, and I can say lavud, right? Let's say, again, I have two strings. Two strings is a bird's eye view, and there's two tefachim apart. I can say lavud, and I'm then allowed to put down an awning on them, to put cloth on them. Does that mean, what if I stop, just want to put up two strings in the air? What if I just want to put up two strings in the air, one like this, and one like this, with two tefachim in between? That means it's usur, because I've now made a gag. I have nothing yet. I just want to put up two strings for some reason. Is that usur, because I've made a gag? So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, no, we only say lavud lekula. That if the two strings are there, we can be makel, consider it a gag, and you can add to it. But we don't say lavud lechomer. You're allowed to put up two strings in the first place, and it won't be considered a gag, because lavud never makes an isur, lavud only makes a heter. However, I think they take it as lest you think that you can fool God here. I think the poskim assume that you can't double dip, meaning you can't put up two strings saying I'm not saying lava, it's just two strings, and then say, oh, I'm saying lava, now I can add to it. That trick you can't pull. You have to be consistent, right? You have to pick your sides. But that's, I think this Rish Shabbos assumes this here in the footnote. But you can, you know, so you can't say love at both, say love and not say love and associate yourself at the same time. But it's good to know just that even though love applies to Gula, it doesn't apply to Chomer. The other machlok, there's the big machlok between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that, which I think is very logical, if you take love very seriously, then let's say these two sticks are love at each other. And what can you do? You can put up cloth sort of in between them, and you can extend further and cover the whole ship for all you care, because once you already have a gag, you can extend it. The Chazon Ish didn't like that. He said, no, if all you're starting is of Lavud, all you can do is cover the Lavud. You can't, like, cover the area next to the Lavud. But I think the Shmir Shabbos assumes, yeah, this is in Halacha Yud Beis, Chaf Dalet Yud Beis, assumes like the Mishnah Berurah on this, which the Pashtas. Pashtas is, if Lavud is really considered Lavud, then it's really a Gag Tefach, and a Gag Tefach, you're allowed to extend and make it into a Gag of 100 meters. But open our eye, of course. The controversial part here is the last part of the Mechaber, which seems to be Machlok, is Rashi and Tosa. So it's not so posh. If you look at the Lashon of Rashi, it's not so clear. But it says, V'tefach she'amru chutz min akricha. What if you have a rolled up roll of cloth? What if it's rolled up? What if it's rolled up and the roll, the diameter of the roll, is a tefach? Right, so what if you start like this? Let's conversate to you then. If I start, here's my, like that. Say it's unrolled one tefach. Then for sure, it can be most of all from a right, I just unroll the whole thing. That's easy. But what if instead, all I have is this. It's totally rolled up. And it so happens that the roll is one tefach wide. So can I now unroll it because I'm just adding to a gag tefach? Or can I not unroll it because it's not a gag yet? So Rashi is quoted, it's not so clear what he really means, but at least they quote Rashi as saying that it's mutter. So you have a gag tefach, who cares what kind of gag tefach? A gag tefach is a gag tefach. However, however, the Tosos and the Ritva and the Mechaber here, Paskins, that no. That's not Nirka Ohel. That's not Bederich Ohel. That looks like it's just a rolled up material. It doesn't look like the beginning of an Ohel. And therefore, since it doesn't look like the beginning of an Ohel, it just looks like a rolled up material, it doesn't count as Tchilas Ohel. That's what he says. Chutz min akricha, you need a tefach besides what's rolled up. Even if what's rolled up is three fucking wides, it's a big fat roll. Still, that doesn't count, because if it's not unrolled, then it's not a roof. I mean, technically, again, for Tumah, right? If a, you know, if a mace was under one half of that roll, and I walked under the other side of that roll, I would become an avatumah, no question there. But, since it doesn't have the appearance for the way most people think of building as a roof, we don't count it, and you can't extend it then. And the Chassam Sofer, I think on the bottom here, someplace on the page, yeah, extends that to folding partitions as well. Says, what if you have like a folding partition? You want to expand it to be mechitza materis. You say, look, it's already a tefach thick when it's folded. He says, no. Because when it's folded, that's not the tzurah of ohel. That looks like it's just folded up ready to go. It's not being used as an ohel yet.
Assuming it's not a tefach. If it is a tefach, then it's fine.
No, if it's not open a tefach, it just happens to be a tefach. When it, you know, like sometimes, I think it is, you know, sometimes in the, like, the holes and whatever, you have these pieces that fold up here, right? They fold up against the wall. Let's say I want to make it, now if I want to, it's obviously a rod. If I just want to open it down, that's of course okay. But what if I want to open it down to use my terrace? Right, what if I want to use one half for people to daven and the other half for people to go to the bathroom? So, then I need mechitza materis. So if you have like one piece that's unfolded, that's a tefach, yeah, Moshef, go ahead. But if it's all folded up, even though the thickness of the fold is more than a tefach, but that doesn't count because that's not nirka ohel, that's just storage. It's only nirka ohel when it's unfolded.
At one point, in that case, it's even more complicated, no? Because well, at one point, does it start looking like an ohel? It starts looking like a straight wall? Because meaning, it doesn't open up straight, it opens up like this. At what point does it start becoming a tetrahedron?
Probably when the when the this side of the triangle would be a tefach. I would assume if it's unfolded enough that it goes a tefach this way, I would assume that would be enough.
But just one thing where this would come into play would be, I think the same would be about strollers. What if it so happens that you have a very fancy stroller, and even when you fold it up the hood all the way, it's still a tefach thick? I don't think they usually are, but we it's here. It would be still a tefach thick if it was all folded up. It wouldn't make a difference because it's folded up. That's not Batsura's ohel. That might be mutter for other reasons. But this reason wouldn't be matterit. Because that's not Nirika Ohel, and therefore that's not considered Mosif. If you unfolded it, you'd be considered to be making it. To what? How does all this apply to Soser? That is a very, very difficult question.
When you say Nirika Ohel, do you mean it's not functioning at all as an Ohel? Because at least on the strollers, you know, when it's folded up, if it's a little bit out, you know, it's folded up, it's already, you know, blocking.
So too, when the mat is rolled up, it's already blocking sun from under one area. But it's not, doesn't look
so
like.
So it's not a question of functioning at all.
It's not a question of functioning, because the rolled up mat does function in an ohel. The harai, if you took a lot of them and put it across, you'd have a wonderful roof. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's not, but it's nearer that it's in storage, it's not being used as an ohel. So I think that's the yesod. Now, how does all this apply to Soser? That is a little bit of a tricky question, meaning by all of this, you mean not just the folded up part, but this whole idea that you can be Mosif al Ohel Arai. Now, what does this mean in terms of, what does this mean in terms of Soser? What are you allowed to undo? So generally, this comes up a little, a little later, I'm not sure if it comes up here, the Mishabur discusses, he seems to assume that whatever you mutter to build is mutter to take apart. So this is a little unclear. The Sharet Zion in Sivkat Memvav seems to deal with a parallel case. If you say it's mutter, because let's say it was attached by strings, which might be the same idea, is it mutter then to take it off on Shabbos? And he brings down a Mamar Mordechai. The Mamar Mordechai seems to say, you can put it back to the way it was when you lit candles Friday afternoon, or in as much as Friday afternoon. Right, so you're allowed to undo whatever you did on Shabbos. Now, it could be that everyone would agree in this particular case.
If someone discusses a little more.
the Shmir Shabbos in Perakov Dalit Siftes quotes this Mamar Mordechai and some other Achronim. Mamar Mordechai in the Sharet Zion Memvav. Shmir Shabbos Perakov Dalit Halachates also quotes the Shulchan Aruch Ravus similarly and says that you're allowed to undo what you did on Shabbos. So you can put it back to the Tefach that was there on Shabbos. But he makes it sound like you can't just take any Ohel and undo it till it becomes a Tefach. What? You cannot undo that Tefach, that's for sure, because then you're just growing the Ohel Agamre. What do you mean? If each thing is less than a tefach, yeah. I mean, again, assuming they're not like attached very well. If they're attached very well, it might be a different problem. Because it might be always us to break things that are attached well. But assuming that they're not really attached, right? It's just me then. Oh, because remember Simon Shinyud Gimel, right? If something is mamish built together, then taking it off might be soser bekalim. Or Soser and Binyanim, regardless. But I'm saying, let's say it's not screwed in or nailed in. It's just Stam, like, put on.
Like, the thing is rolled up.
Right. So then, let's say Stam, you have something on your pergola, it's just rolled up, it's just sitting there. So if it's less than a tefach, then it would be mutter. However, this would actually be an interesting enough gemina of the Taz. The Taz here is Mechadish, will end with one thing. That, and by the way, the way he quotes, you should see here, in Perchav Dalet Footnote Laman Aleph, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that again, machlok is about this. He is machriya like Rishon Zalman that really the only heter to undo an ohel is to get it back to the way it was before Shabbos. Well, he says not everyone agrees to that. That seems to be somewhat controversial. The Taz's question is, interestingly, the Taz asks, are we choshesh for Rashi or not? Rashi says if it's rolled up, it's considered already spread out. So are we choshesh for that or not?
Meaning,
what's the difference? Meaning, is it that we paskin that a rolled up fabric is not considered an ohel yet? Or is it that we're mesuvak and therefore we're machmir? What's the nafkamina? So he says, his example is slightly a little different. I'm not sure why. He says, can you put the roll, let's say you have a rolled roll of fabric, can you put it there in the first place on Shabbos? His example is putting it on a kli. But I think it would have been to put it on a pergola or something. Can you put it down on Shabbos in the first place? So he says, really, it's not that we're sure this doesn't count as an oil yet. It's that we're mesupik either way. Therefore, if it's already there, you shouldn't expand it. But if it's not there yet, you shouldn't put it there. And likewise, if it was there, you shouldn't take it off. So it might be considered an ohel. The Mishnah points out that he thinks it could be. Everyone agrees to this, even if you're not choshesh for Rashi down the bottom of the Shaar Tzion. Okay, but Lamaisa, what do we say in the end? We say that if you have a rolled up roll of fabric or folded up thing, then you're not allowed to be mosif to that because it's not really spread out yet. But on the other hand, you still have to relate to it as an ohel, so you can't like put it up in the first place or take it down in the first place. Okay, any other questions about this sif? Sif Gimel. Mita. Now we get into some strange halachos. Sif Gimel. Really, it's Gimel, Dalid, I guess, hey, a little, Vav, Zayin, are all about the same strange kind of case. Mita Kshama, Midun Osa, Asher La Niach HaRegvayim Tchilu Niach Leim HaKroshim. This is based on the Gemara. The Gemara talks about in, it's really in Beit Zadaf Lamed Beis, and also mentions in some other places, but they mention a whole bunch of things. One of them is Purya. When you want to make your bed, again, what does it mean to make your bed? Apparently, they had very simple beds. You could just like put on the legs and then put the board down on top and you had a bed. Right? Two things of wood, and or two, or whatever, we'll have to see how many, and a board on top and you made a bed. So you can't make the mechitzas first and then the gag, because that's b'derech hasiyas ohel. You have to put first the roof and then the sides. Now, obviously, that seems hard to do, right? Because you can't suspend it in the air. So what it means is you usually have to have a friend. You hold the board, and then your friend put the legs underneath. And then that's how you make a bed on Shabbos. And the same applies, he gives some other examples of this also, right? If you're making like barrels, you're making a little pyramid of barrels, and you have two sides and one on top. Then again, you can't put two on the side and one on top. That's if above, you have to put one on top and hold it in the air while your friend puts in the two on the side, or if you're really strong, you kick them into place or something. So this is a general rule. Now, what's this general rule? What would you have thought the rule should be? Is this Arai or Keva? This Olo. So Pashas, let's assume it's Arai, right? So what would you have thought the rule was? What? What would you have thought the rule was based on what we learned so far? Is this Shulchan Aruch more makel or more machmer than what you would have thought? There's no right answer. It all depends how much you would have known. What would you think? Is this Shulchan Aruch more makel or more machmer than what you would have thought? More makel, because you would have thought it's usher to make an oil array at all, right? You're making it from scratch. And here he says you're allowed to do it in the weird way. So what's pshat? So, everyone explains. The Magen Avraham here quotes the Rosh, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham quote the Rosh, and they say that if you look at the Magen Avraham here or the Mishnah Berurah, he says this is different. Says someplace here, yeah. excuse me, sorry. Binyan Arai. Well, it's not exactly what he means here, but he says it's not a binyan choshev. The gam ikur kavanasu lasu ohel is not lasu ohel itself. He says the difference between this case and everything we're discussing until now is that in every case we've been discussing until now, your intention was to make a roof to protect you from the sun above to give you shade. In every case until now, the intention was to make a roof to protect you. That's the sort of an ohel. But the bed case is unique
Because in the bed case, your intention is not at all, right? If you plan to sleep under the bed, then taka, that would be like what we're saying until now. Why should there be a hamin in the living, making all the right? But you intend to sleep on top of the bed. Your intention is not to make a space under the bed. Your intention is to sleep on top of the bed, and it's just like an accidental effect of what you're doing that you're also making an ohel. So that's the chiddush of this sif of Shulchan Aruch. That all the rules we've been saying until now, the halachas, are if you intend to use the space under, if your intention is for the space underneath, if your main intention is for the space underneath, to have a shaded or a protected space underneath, that's classic ohel, and then there's no heter for making an ohel arayim in tefila. But if your intention is to use the space above, or, you know, or just to pile things for some other reason, your intention for some other reason, and it so happens that as a side effect of what you're doing, there's also created some roofed space underneath, like, yeah, the bed. I want, you can imagine a table, right? Unfolding a folding table, right? Well, folding it might be a little different, whatever. Right, but nonetheless, it illustrates it here. I'm not trying to make like a little house under. If I wanted my kids to play outside, so I poured out a folding table and put it on top of them so they could, like, you know, the infant could lie down and not get rained on, then that taco would be an all right, that's for sure, sir. But if my intention is to eat on the table, just so happens that the way we eat, we like our tables high and they have some space underneath, then that's not really the derech of ohel. Because I'm not intending for tzel. I'm going to run into another factor. It's not a binyan chashuv. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't pick up on that, although the Chazon Ish does. But so he says, therefore, what's the rule of a gag, an ohel, a rai that's not intended for the space underneath, that's not intended for tzel? Tzel being lavdavka, but also be protection from rain or whatever. What's the din of an ohel, a rai that I don't intend? I'm not trying to make a roof over something. I'm trying to make a space under something or some other reason. My intention is not for the roof of the space underneath. My intention is for a different reason. Then the answer is, it's still also midrabana to make a kedarko, mechitzos v'acharkach gag. It's only mutter to make it, shelo kedarko gag v'acharkach mechitzos. That's the gzeir drabana here. So while in a mamish ohel, where I intended it for the reasons of ohel, it would be also no matter how I make it. But over here, since my intention is not for sale, not to shade and to protect something from what's on top of it, not to protect the space underneath, but my intention is to use the space on top or some other intention, then it's only exerid or abundance, only usser, if I make it the normal way, but if I make it the abnormal way, then it's mutter.
This wouldn't be a kula if, let's say there's two byproducts. You make this OL and you can use the top, but you really intend to use the space beneath. That would be a problem.
Now, if you really intended to use the space beneath, that would have to be a problem.
But I really intend to use the space above it also. Still a problem.
So it might depend what your main intention was. But if you're, you know, we'll see clearly that it might, that there's still a hefter, even if you also are going to use the space underneath. But if, as long as your main intention is not for that. But if you're like 50-50 of two main intentions, then it would probably be usher. Where exactly draw the line? I'm not sure. I'd say your real intention. We all know if your real intention is not to create a protected space underneath, then even though it might happen to come in handy for something, I would say that's mutter. But if you have two real intentions, then my guess would be that it would be usher. Now the truth is that Rashi, this is actually interesting, Yesod in Hilchos Shabbos that the Bir Halacha points out, although it might be in a slightly later sif. Bir Halacha is in sif. What is this going on? Sif Vav. That's the same idea. He points out that Rashi wants to be matur all this. Rashi says, Dover Shein Miskavin. You're not Miskavin to make the Ohel. Therefore, Rashi wants to say it's Mutter Legamri. However, all of the Rishonim reject that. We don't agree with Rashi because this is a very important subtlety. Because you are Miskavin to make this structure. You are Miskavin to make this structure. Even though the reason behind your intent was not to make an ohel, but you are miscaving to build the structure. You are miscaving to build the structure, and therefore, and they don't express it this way, but I think that's what they're getting at. I could be wrong. Is that, you know, it's the old difference between between malach shein shrich lagufa and psik reisha and davar shein miscaving. Davar shein miscaving means you didn't mean to do this, means you meant to do this, but you didn't mean to do this for the right reason. But over here, you did taka mean to make the structure. You just meant to do it for another reason, but you meant to make the structure, and therefore we would say it is davar miskaven. Now, of course, it's only davar miskaven in Mishnah Rabbanan, because it's not kederach ohel. But it is davar miskaven, you meant to make a structure that's in some ways like an ohel. Even though the ohel aspect was not your main intention, but you did mean to build a structure, so that's called miskaven. As long as you meant to do the maisa, that's called miskaven, even if you didn't necessarily mean for the purpose that we're dealing with here. So this is the davar miskaven, and takens asur midrabanan. That's what we paskin, unless you do it b'shinoi. If you do b'shinoi, then it is mutter. And what would be b'shinoi? B'shinoi would be first put the gag, excuse me, and then put the mechitza. The Taz and the Mishabura quote Tosas as well. There's a second way to do it, right? If you think about it, there you can do mechitza, mechitzos, and then gag. That would be the case that's usher. You could do gag followed by mechitzos, which is a really weird way of doing it, and that's mutter. There is another way, which is gag. You just make the gag because the mechitzos were already there. What if you're just making the gag because the mechitzos were already there from Friday? So you're not doing it in either order. So what's the case there? The Shulchan Aruch, I don't think, says this explicitly, but the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz quote from Tosos. Tosos, that's mutter. That's also not within the Gzeirat Rabbanan, because it's not the classic way of building an ohel.
It's not like the case of the boat where the beams are there and you're just...
No, in the case of the boat, even the gag was there, you're just adding. So that's mutter even if your intention is for sale. That's mutter even if you really are trying to make an ohel. Over here, this kula is only... Again, you can't use these kulas if you really want to make an ohel for sale. Okay, Chazal permitted it, maybe for kamar brias, for a mace, etc. There's a gemara like that. But in normal, everyday circumstances, you can't use this kula if you actually want an awning to sit under, you know, or to protect you from the rain or something. Then these kulas don't apply. But if you're just innocently trying to make a table or something, and it so happens that it also creates some sort of like ohel shaded area, protected area underneath, then it's also to do mechitzos followed by gag, but it's more to do just gag on pre-existing mechitzos, and it's more to do gag first and mechitzos second. Excuse me, sorry.
How is that different from the second case?
Which case?
The third one
different from the second case? The second case is first I hold out the gag and then someone puts the mechitzos underneath them. The third case is that the mechitzos were there from Friday and I just put the gag on top. Right? So for example, just imagine I wanted to make some sort of table. You know, I had these two chairs and I had a big board of wood I wanted to make a table. So I put the chairs here and then the board of wood, that's taka asur. If I go like this and I hold the board of wood and I go like this, that's mutter. Or if the chairs have been here since Friday and I put the board of wood, that's also mutter. That's not legambre b'derech hasiyas mechitzos. They weren't gozer in this case.
Why do we care what your main intention is? Shouldn't we say that what the fact that it's all in the beams of secretion, we always say that that's also anyways.
Aha. So this, I mean, the Taz leaning a little more towards your direction, but the reason is because your intention doesn't just define the act you're doing. Your intention defines the chefta that's created. If your intention is not for the sake of ohel, then it's not a real ohel on the Daraisa level. Again, for Tumah, it obviously would be, but for Shabbos, your intention says that even the result you've created is not a cheft of an ohel.
Even though it's a good ohel?
Even though it's a good ohel, if it's not intended for use as an ohel, then that's not called an ohel on the Daraisa level.
Even though it's used for an ohel also? Meaning, even though you use it for an ohel, just that your intention when you did it wasn't to make it for an ohel?
So, I mean, then maybe that wasn't your intention. You know, it might not depend on your intention. Like, if you're fooled or tricked, it might depend on what it's really intended for, you know, by whoever has the potential to use it, right? If I fool you into building me one, then that's probably still a problem. But it's because you're based on your intention, it's a different chefza. I think they don't say that explicitly, but I think that's what's going on. Now, the... The Rishonim argue on Rashi, all they say really, and the Be'er Halacha quotes this, he says, the Mashiach Yehan, Shemeskavin Lasos Mashu Hu Osa. They say it's Meskavin Lasos Mashu Osa. They don't use the word Moshe Nitzchul Gufa probably because they don't need to, because it's not a chashav of Doraisa anyway. But I think this would be an example of the classic chilik between. They don't say that between Dabashim is common Moshe Nitzchul Gufa. So over here, they don't bring in Moshe Nitzchul Gufa because that just makes it not Doraisa. And everyone knows it's not Doraisa anyway. That's also the Rambam. The Rambam passing is chayav Doraisa, but we pass it like everyone else in the world. That is also the Rambam. Okay. The Rambam passing that way, so they could be very nice with Chaim on Mappas Morse. Now, there's a few details that come up here. Just a few details from the Mishnah Berurah discusses here. First, he quotes from the Achronim that if you have, apparently, it's some sort of cover of their stove that was on a hinge that like went up and down to cover. So they said that's much more even if you're actually trying to protect the space underneath, because if it's on a hinge, then that's okay. We'll have to come back to that idea. But then there's a big machlokas here. I don't know how your soda stick it is between the Magen Avraham versus the Tosefta Shabbos about they would have some sort of like, how did you envision this? Like some sort of chimney from their oven or something? Like some sort of pipe coming up? How did you imagine this? And they would sometimes cover it to keep the heat in the oven. So what about covering that sort of outlet of the oven to keep the heat in the oven? So there the Magen Avraham says, Taka, and even though the Mechitza over there from Erev Shabbos, right? So the Magen Avraham says, that's Taka Aser, because you're actually trying to keep the heat in the oven and protect the oven. So it's really a classic roof. Your intention is really for a roof, I think is what the Magen Avraham's saying. And Tosefta Shabbos wants to say that if this sort of outlet of the chimney is less than 3 tefachim, you could say it's already considered closed up because it's lavad and it's mutter. Okay, but I think one of the issues here is, you know, without getting into the details, the Magen Avraham sort of trying to draw the line between when your intention is really for an ohel and when it isn't. Let's say you're just putting something on top of this chimney in the oven to keep the heat in. So he points out that's a little misupping. The Mishnah says we're not exactly sure how this works, but basically we would paskin that's considered kavana for ohel, even though you're not actually trying to get sale. You are trying to sort of protect and contain what's inside. So even though we're a little misupping about this, we would be machmir, and we would say that's considered to be real kavanas ohel. So even though the mechitzos are there from Erev Shabbos, you're just making a gag, that would still be a problem. Or the Mishnah was makel, but seiruf, the union of lovet, ayin sham. We're not going to get into that. The important machlokas here, which comes up in the next few se'ifim, is under what circumstances does this gzera apply? They all took it, all the Rishonim took it as the repushit, that this doesn't apply under all circumstances. Not every time you have like a bed or a table or something like that, do we say this chumrah? Not every time you have a bed or a table, do we say this chumrah? That it's nearer like an ohel on the Rabbanan level, even though that wasn't your kavana, and it's also to do in the normal way. So what are the two possible factors that could modify this? So the Shulchan Aruch brings down two factors. He says, if you look in Gemel, the end, V'hani milik shereglayim heim dapma mechubarim k'mo dofnei ateva. V'arglayim shem mitzu sholana b'chim ragda shulchan motur b'chol ga'avna. Says, when is it aser to make this table? If the legs of the table are walls, like walls of a chest. Meaning, if you have a table, which under the table, there's like four walls, and there's space underneath. That's when it might be like nirek ohel, and you'd have to do it in a weird way. Or, when your bed had like walls underneath the bed. But if it's mito shalanu, a lot of our beds, right, are just have four poles sticking up, and then there's a bed on them. That's for sure, Mutter. That without mechitzas doesn't look like an ohel. Or a lot of our tables just have four legs sticking up, four poles sticking up, and then there's a table. That's for sure, Mutter. Says this gzera only applies if there are mechitzos. If there are no mechitzos, then it's no problem. This is the kula of Tosfos and the kula of Tosfos and the Ran. That says it's only a problem if there's walls and a roof. But if there's no walls, then it's no problem. Again, don't get me wrong. If your intention was for sale, if you actually wanted to like lie down outside and put the table on top of you, that would for sure be usher, even though there are no walls. But given that your intention is not for sale, just to eat, you can put the table on the four legs because it doesn't look like an ohel if there's no walls. There's another kula, if you look at Halacha Zayin, Mutar l'mich sefer ech mikan ve'ech mikan ve'echer al gabei, and this is the kula of the Rashva. And the Ran, that you're allowed to like pile svarim. If you imagine, let's say, you know, we need a tefach here, right? Right, here's a tefach, tefach space, and I'm piling my svarim and I'm going like this. Now, I've created an ohel. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to, like, protect or shade or whatever's underneath there. This is just how I'm stacking my svarim for easy access. For whatever reason, I can access this side, top. So, now, I don't have my Shulchan Aruch anymore. The Shulchan Aruch says that, in Zion, that it's mutter. Why? Hagah, hold the encircle Abba Shadavtayim, because you're not using the airspace underneath. He says that if you're not using the airspace underneath, they weren't gozer at all. When were they gozer? So then when were they gozer? Remember, if your intention is to protect the airspace underneath, that's the original iser, not a special xera. And that's usher even if you do it in an abnormal way. If you don't intend to use the space underneath, then it's much they weren't gozer at all. So when were they gozer? So the Ran and the Rasp explain. They were gozer only if your main intention is not to protect the space, is not to protect the space underneath. But you will also happen to use the space underneath. Like, what was the example in Shas? Started with a bed. Everyone knows that in the time of Chazal, what did they put underneath the bed? The shoes. You put your shoes underneath the bed. I think even nowadays, some people still put their shoes underneath their beds. What? It's a common thing to do. Good. So, excuse me, you still put your shoes underneath the bed. So the Xera only applies when your intention was to sleep on the bed, but you're also putting your shoes underneath. But if you're not putting anything underneath your bed, say in your country, no one ever keeps anything underneath their bed, or it's like a table and you don't put anything under the table, then, or it's svarim and nothing's under the svarim, whatever, then it's no problem at all. So these are two potential kulas. Yeah.
Would we have the idea that there was one initial derivana and then there was a special zera?
What's the main derivana?
That's what
they
were saying when you have a functional ohel.
I mean, when you're really making a functional ohel arai, and that's the sort of main zero derivana, you're not allowed to make that in any way. But when you have like this bed, which is a non-functional ohel arai, and that's only a special zero derivana that's also to do in the classic way, but it's mutter to do in a different way. Is that what I said? Exactly. The chiddush of Gimel is that even a non-functional ohel, you know, which is not intended for tzel, is also to make in the classic way, but mutter to make in one of these two different ways.
The mostly follow all around, that's heter even if it's for shade, right? Even
yes.
If it's for,
yes.
For,
that's heter even if it's for shade.
We're only talking about the heter to do the, in this abnormal way of building the top and the bottom, that's
if it's not for shade.
Why?
You could also be mosif, but what if you have nothing to be mosif to? Right? If you had a table, you could always expand the table. That's for sure. That's even if you did want shade. But here we're talking if you're building it from scratch, so then there's an extra heter of doing it abnormally. Now, in what cases do you even need this heter of doing it abnormally? Let's just review for a second. If here we have mutter to make it either way. Here we have usser to do a full binyan way, but mutter in a different way. This would be Sif Gimel, Sif Zion, and this would be usser either way. That would be Sif Aleph Tibet. So, When is it usher either way if it's kavana l'tzel?
Right, if your kavana is to protect the space underneath.
When would it be mutter to do it, God followed by kicking in or sticking in mechitzas, or just God on pre-existing mechitzas, but also to build mechitzas on God with their opinion? That is obviously if it's ain't kavana l'tzel, but here we have, what does the Shulchan Aruch quote? Here we have the Chaver and the Ran would say, when is it usher to do it the full binyan way? When it's has mechitzos and you're going to use the space underneath. Obviously your intention wasn't to protect the space underneath, but if no mechitzos, right, just legs, or you don't use the space underneath, then it's mutter to even make it the normal way. Then it's no problem at all. Then it's no chash at all. This is the Mechaber quoting the Ran. However, in Rishonim, it's not so pushed, because at least if you take the Rashba denies this thing on the Chitzos. He just says it depends on if you're going to use the space. Says it doesn't matter whether the mechitzos are not, just one factor. If you're going to put your shoes underneath, then it's also to make the norm, the classic way. Mutter to make a different way. If you're not going to use this place in the space underneath, it's mutter. Tosfos seems to say only bring up the issue of mechitzos. If there's mechitzos, then it's also to make it the classic way. If there's no mechitzos, just legs, right? I mean, there has to be something that keeps us from falling down. Then it's mutter to make it in any fashion. And what the Ran and the Mechaber does combines both heter. Either heter is good enough. It has no mechitzas, then even if you use the space, it's mutter. If you're not going to put your shoes underneath, even if it has mechitzas, it's mutter. And there's one fourth shita. I don't know who tries to make a new derech of understanding this. The Taz. So the Taz says, really, they're all agreeing and they all mean the exact same thing. The Taz says, really, everyone agrees. There's just a... one factor here. one second... Yeah, now you can look at it. There might be different ways of interpreting it, but what I think he's trying to get at is that it all depends if you're going to have useful space underneath or not use the space underneath. However, he adds something. He says, but Tosus mentions something on having four mechitzas. He says, if it has four mechitzos, then automatically using space underneath. Because if you actually have four walls and you create a box in the bottom, then regardless of your intention, we consider that to be a useful space underneath. And it's as if there was use for that space underneath, and therefore the zero drop on the plot. So, what does all this mean? Lev Haisa. What all this means... But this if, and we'll just paskin and then we'll call it a day, is if we want to know, again, this is all with no kavana l'tzel. With kavana l'tzel, that's a different ballgame. Plan to use space underneath, or you don't plan to use space underneath. And here you have no mechitzos, it's just on legs, and here you have mechitzos. Then what would it didn't be? in this case, the Mechaber and the Ran and Tosos would say Mutter. The Rashba would say Aser. In this case, it would be Mutter. And again, Aser means you have to do it a different way. Mutter means Mutter le Gamre.
In this case, the Mechaber, the Ran, and the Rashba would say Mutter, and Tosos would seem to say Usher. He's not so clear. In this case, everyone agrees it's Usher unless you do differently. And just to add one other factor, here we could say the Taz would admit that it's Mutter. In this particular case, the Taz would say four walls is Usher, but two walls is Mutter. How do we pass it on this? So the Mishnah Brura suggests that in this case, the Mishnah Brura is mafra like the Taz, that if it's four walls, even if you don't plan to use the space underneath, we consider that useful space, that would be usher. These two cases are easy. In this case, the Mishnah Brura paskins like the Mechaber, but the Bir Halacha says it's good to be machmir like the Rashba. So Lamaisa, if you have both factors L'chumra, you're planning to use the space underneath and there's walls, then for sure you have to build it the weird way. If you have both factors, the kula, you don't plan to use the space underneath and it's just on legs, then for sure it's mutter. If you're somewhere in between, let's say you don't plan to use the space underneath but there's walls, then if there's four walls, the Taz says be machmir, that's considered a useful space. And even though the Chazanish is Mekel, Mishnah Brura is machmir here, and if you have no machitz at all, but you taka plan to put your shoes under the bed, then the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha says it's tov, it's better to be machmir like the Rashba, although I think inside in the Mishnah Brura, he does not say that. I think inside in the Mishnah Brura, he just assumes the taka, if there's no legs underneath, then it's mutter. Okay, that's it for this. Just one important issue that I should point out that the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Achronim, I think a little elsewhere. That he says, even if, what does it mean, mechitzos? What does it mean your bed has walls? If your bed just has some sort of decorative panel, that's not a wall, and not considered a wall unless it goes down to the ground or within three tefachim of the ground. If it doesn't go down to the ground or within three tefachim of the ground, let's say you have a headboard. But it doesn't go within three tefachim of the ground, that's not considered a wall, halachically, and therefore you'd be okay. All right, I think that's about all we have to say for this. That's about all we have to say for this sif. So we'll have to continue. I really want to finish this simon on Thursday by hook or by crook. Those who are already finished the simon and say, go ahead, but I assume most of us will probably be just on time to finish it by Thursday, unless I hear otherwise. Yeah. What the Taz says is that he really wants to make everyone agree. So what the Taz is saying is that really it just matters if you plan to use the space underneath, then this gzeira applies.
Okay.
If you don't plan to use the space underneath, this gzeira doesn't apply.
When will we require a shinui?
If you plan to use the space
underneath. So you do it mishana, it's fine.
Yes. But even if you don't plan to use the space underneath, your four walls, that says if you plan to use the space underneath, and therefore you need to use a shinui.